The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello and welcome to your Saturday. We're glad to be spending it with you, and we know that this time is the time that those of us that are interested in real estate, whether it's an investor, whether you have a home, you're thinking about buying, selling, or just about your home in general, that's what this show is about. I'm Paul Jamison, your host, owner of the Jamison family of companies. That's Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, and Jamison Property Investments. Today's show, I have the pleasure of spending it with my dear friend and our mortgage partner, Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country Mortgage. Hey, Sandy.
Hi.
Glad to be getting this whole hour with you. It's about time. I only get snippets in the other weeks of the month, so the whole time we're going to be together.
Okay.
That's yes,
good.
I've had coffee.
Good time.
Yes, I've had coffee. Yes, I have. So that's kind of my thing. So, but anyway, we're going to be talking about a lot today, so I'm excited to talk about that. But one of the things I wanted to make sure we spent time on was the statistics. And, you know, a lot of statistics are out there floating around from economists talking about our market. And, you know, last week I talked about the speeding train and do I think it's going to come to a screeching halt? But, you know, I also want to make sure we're listening to people that are spending time in our market, right, Sandy? I mean, a lot of the statistics are very national, and that's always good. But what we really care about is what's going on in our backyard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an important statistic to look at. So let me start with what's going on nationally. And then let me move from that to what's going on locally, all right? One of the things that I wanted to look at first was kind of a year-over-year comparison, looking at 2020. This is data that comes from a group called Redfin. They're not much, I think, in real estate, but more into data. And what they said was from 20 to from the year 2020 to 2021, easy for me to say, there's been 21% growth in real estate prices, with the average median home sale price now at $348,500. Now, these are national numbers. Is one of the contributing factors to this growth is that there are more high-end homes being sold now than a year ago. Asking prices now have reached an all-time high, average asking prices of $360,975. Days on market nationally, averaging now a record low of 19 days. And that's pretty darn amazing. I just can't believe it. 48% of the homes that sold, here it is, Sandy, sold for more than their list price. 48%.
That's crazy.
48%.
It kind of goes against the grain to offer more than a list price.
Yeah. Yeah, that's 20% more than a year ago. Average sale price to list is 101.4%. And, you know, of the... I think there was another statistic of that, the days on market, the 19 days. I think there was a statistic that somewhere around 40% of those sold in like a week instead of you know, the average of 19
days.
Wow,
but we're seeing it.
Yeah, so that's pretty amazing too. 58% of homes that went under contract had an accepted offer in that 2 weeks. That's right. Here it is. And it's 45%, actually, of the 58% went under contract in a week after hitting the market. So it's even higher than I thought. So that's pretty amazing that within a two-week period, 58% of them went under contract. As compared to 2019, pending home sales are up 23% from 2019. New listings were down 8%. Active listings from 2019 to now fell 48%. And, you know, that's just shows the demand has shifted so dramatically in the last 2 years that those numbers are just really, really hard to believe. So what's going on in our current market? This is the stuff to pay attention to, right?
Right.
Now, in April 2020, there were 3,660 homes that went on the market. April 2021, 4,787 homes went on the market. That's a 30% increase from 2020 to 2021. But let's talk about that. Pending sales in 2020, April, were 3,155 homes in 2021. 4,535. Closed sales are up 25% over 2020. They went from 3,145 to 3,933. And the median sale price from 2020 to 2021 went from 283,910 to 322,500. That is an increase of 13.6%. Average sales price was slightly higher from 334,716 to 386,172, an increase of 15%. But let me share the year to date from January through April. The price has increased 13.1%.
A nice return on investment.
Boy, days on market from 37 in 2020 to 19. Sowie. That's some crazy stuff going on in our market. Inventory of homes for sale was 2 months' supply last April. Now is 0.6 months. That's about 17, 18 days.
Wow.
Whew, man. So, if you're thinking about selling, we're going to talk about that. I have been in multiple offer situations, many of them. But I do think, and many ask me, and again, I'll just remind you that I do not think that the moving train is going to come to a halt. I believe it will slow the second half of this year because I think more than anything, what will drive that is buyer fatigue. I think buyers are going to get tired of writing lots of offers and not winning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be a major driver. I think rates, they're now projecting, will not be above 5 until after 2024. I think they're going to bounce around, Sandy, and you've talked about that, right?
Right.
So, you know.
It's bouncing today.
Yeah, it is. It is. So we've got about a minute and a half left. Have you got kind of a quick mortgage update you can put out there?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
So the CPI came out and inflation rose 4.2%. And if you take out the earning, the energy and the fuel, the core rate was up 3%. That's pretty significant. What that means for rates is that they're probably going to be going up. So they'll go up now and then they'll go up again, next month because we're anticipating, the core rate to be up about 3.5%. So, all of this, craziness is causing inflation. The Fed thinks this is transitory, but most people don't think that. They think that this is going to be for a while. Rents are up 2% per year. And mortgage apps were up a little this week and refi apps were up a little bit. So rates had come down just a tad, but now they're going back up. So They're bouncing all over. They're still, we got down to about 2.8, 2.9. Now they're back up in the low threes. Still good. Really
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Get them while you can. We're having a blue light special.
Yeah. All right. More to come with the rates and talking more about what's going on in our market. And then talking about what we're seeing for buyers and sellers and what those kind of markets mean. So we'll be right back to show you real estate today here on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Stay right with us.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back. Happy Saturday to show you real estate today. Hope wherever you are warm, safe, and enjoying your Saturday afternoon. I'm Paul Jamison, your host. With the Jamison family of companies, that's Realty Property Management and Property Investments, here with Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country Mortgage. We're back to talk with you about your home and everything going on with it. So, you know, one of the things, Sandy, that we deal with both in our business is that you have choices when it comes to your mortgage. You have choices when it comes to your real estate. You can work with an individual mortgage lender. You can work with an individual real estate agent. And what's interesting right now, and we're doing a lot of comparisons and matrix to the market right now and where our how our team is doing and studying performance and things. And we're really seeing that agents without a team are at a pretty significant disadvantage. And right now our business is up about 20% in a market that's down, as you saw the statistics, like, what is it, 2 months to 0.6. I can't quite do the math on that. What is that, 300% or something like that in inventory levels? So what it means is that we're winning deals and we're getting listings, but we all support each other. And it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to get through a pandemic. It takes a village to work in a low inventory market. I mean, don't you see, Sandy, too, that the results of having a team allows more creative thinking, better response, all the things that you need in a market like this?
Yeah, definitely. I'm super happy that I have a pretty big team right now, because when people need a pre-approval or need something quick, one of us can jump on it fast. So, and that's important because, you know, you have to make offers quickly. And people want letters quickly, and they want them geared toward properties. And so anyway, yeah, I'm super happy about the fact that I have a pretty big team, and I think it's tough for anybody that doesn't.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. You know, sometimes they think, you know, the most creative ideas is to throw money at a seller or throw money at a buyer in order to win business. And, you know, that's just not always the case. But it, you know, certainly what's the old expression, you know, money's not the most important thing, but it could sure help. But
right.
The reality is also that right now, I think the key differentiator for you and for me and for our businesses and in this market is you got to understand it. You've got to understand what's going on. You've got to understand how to respond to what's going on, and you've got to understand how to win. Right. And how you win is very different in different types of markets. And Sandy and I are going to talk about buyers markets and sellers markets and what that means a little bit later in the show. But that's really, really true, because if you're a seller right now, there's a lot of people out there that are just throwing giant numbers out there and wondering why they're not getting the result they want. There's a lot of greed going on in the market right now. And you have to be very careful of that. Kind of like the gas situation that we faced, right? Is you see pictures of people coming with, you know, 15 gas cans, when really the ultimate thing is to make sure people have enough work to do what gas to go to work and to drive their trucks and to get to the construction site and to do what they need to do. And that's it. And we all work together to try to do that. So other things that are causing some of the issues is one is Zillow. He said the Z word. Zillow is just flat wrong. And it's still flat wrong. If you think Zillow is the proper place to value your home and to evaluate your home, I always ask this very simple question. Friend, tell me, when was the last time Zillow rang your doorbell and walked in and sat at your kitchen table, other than through a laptop? How does it know what's going on in your neighborhood? How does it know what upgrades you've done? How does it know what is really going on? Zillow is an algorithm. Nothing more, nothing less. It takes data and kind of puts it in a blender and spits out something. But it has no local knowledge. It doesn't know really anything other than the math. It is not accurate. It's like a blind squirrel. Can it hit it every now and again? Sure. But it is not accurate. And the other thing is your lender. And like I say, we're going to talk about this more. Lending is so critical to winning, especially if you're not paying cash. If you're paying cash, you don't need a lender. So you think, right, Sandy? But but the lender is becoming so critical. And we've had discussions about this all week, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about this out-of-state lending a little bit later. You know, out-of-state lenders in our market is kind of a red flag, right? When you're in, if you get 19 offers and you've got a lender down in Texas who is a friend of a friend that has no appraisal connections, no local market connections, no, you can't get your hand around their neck. It's very, very different. Even the big banks like Chase, Fifth Third, and Bank of America are intrinsically a challenge, especially when things fall apart and appraisals. But you know what I found the most interesting, Sandy, about this discussion, and then I'll be quiet and let you talk, is this. If you're working at Bank of America, Chase, at 5 o'clock, what do you typically do?
You leave and go home, and you leave the phone.
Okay, are you following me? In this dynamic market, and I'm writing an offer while Sandy is actually at a wedding reception, and she walks out of the room during a wedding reception. I think it was a Saturday night. Was it a Saturday night?
It was. It was a Saturday.
Saturday night, and got me what I needed. If I was with the Bank of America, do you think they would have done that? No. I looked like a little Ernest T. Bass there when I did that for a minute. I scared myself. Sorry about that, people, if you're watching us online. Mm-hmm. So, Sandy, at 5 o'clock, they go home. And or if they're in another state, they might be in a different time zone. When you need it now in this market, right?
That's right.
So what
and
do
on
you,
the weekends.
What do you say to that?
On the weekends.
What do you say to that? I mean, you face
I
it all the time.
Some people would say I'm crazy because of the stuff that I do, but we have to take care of the clients, and we want to give them a wow experience, and we want to win for them. So whatever I can do to help them win these contracts right now, I'm willing to do. Yeah. I call the listing agents, I'll do a video, I'll sometimes these listing agents will give me information they won't give the buyer's agent, like what's the motivation to sell. Sometimes they'll tell me, hey, this guy wants to stay in the house while he finds another house. Or I don't know why they're more hesitant to tell the buyer agent things like that. But what I'm finding is they'll tell me more than they'll tell the buyer agent. And that'll give us some good insight on how to win the listing. I mean, how to win the contract.
Yeah, absolutely. Knowledge is power. And as an agent, you need to be asking those things. Let me ask you, how well do you think we would do if I said to you, you know what, I work 8:30 to 5 as a realtor, Monday through Friday. I want my evenings off. I want my weekends off. I'm just a stickler for that. How well do you think we would do?
I think we would do fair, but I think we would lose out on a lot of deals.
I agree with you. I think, you know, there's always somebody that can fit into that box, but we tend to work when other people are not. That's what I've discovered. They want to see houses when it's convenient for them. And it's usually after 5 or on the weekend.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, all right. Well, we've got a lot more to talk about. And Sandy's here to share it with me. So the Show Your Real Estate Today, happy Saturday. We've got more. Stay with us. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBD. Do not touch that dial. We'll be right back.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back to the Show Your Real Estate Today. Happy Saturday to you. And we hope that you're enjoying the show so far. Here with Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country Mortgage. I'm Paul Jamison, your host with the Jamison family of companies, Realty, Property Management, and Property Investments. We thought we would start this segment out with buyer's market and a seller's market. And, you know, in order to do that, let's talk about a neutral market. A neutral market says we have 6 months worth of inventory. 6 months worth of inventory. That means it's not a buyer's market, not a seller's market. Okay? So let's start with a market we're not in. Okay?
Okay.
So let's say we have over 6 months of inventory. So we are now in a buyer's market. Now, we were in a buyer's market 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, and some of 2014.
Right.
Okay. So, you buyers, you had your chance. It's
right.
Time for the shoes change. All right? So, what would we do different? And how would we approach a buyer's market? If we were a seller in a buyer's market, the sensitivities would primarily be around price and primarily around making sure that the home is very, very specifically tailored to that potential buyer and, for the most part, having all the work done so that it is purely move-in ready. Would you agree with that, Sandy?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So in this market, your kitchens, your bathrooms, your, you know, things need to be really, really buttoned up to stand out. You know, location matters. Schools matter. Amenities matter. Pretty much the buyer takes on a license to pick. And in that market, you typically have, as a seller, more competition because you've got more inventory. So appraisals also do tend to be a little lower. Let's just put it right where it is. So what about you in a buyer's market?
In a buyer's market, people have more time to make decisions, and they don't have, you know, they can think about properties. Mm-hmm. They don't have to put as much due diligence money down, mm-hmm. And earnest money, so their risk is a little bit less. Mm-hmm. However, they still want to prepare so that they don't have a nightmare closing a loan. And there's still urgency in a lot of situations where they need to move because there's relocations and stuff. So they still want to be prepared and have, you know, always have a good grasp of their credit and their savings. But they probably, you know, just have to have enough for their down payment and closing costs. A lot of times in a buyer's market, they can ask the seller to pay closing costs. So maybe they don't have to save as much money if it's a buyer's market.
Did you find when we were in a buyer's market, it was harder to get a loan?
It was back then because we were just out of a nightmare economy, and the lenders tightened up, and they were offering a lot less programs. So it was very tough back then, and we did have to hound the buyers for a lot of more information. The technology wasn't as good, so we weren't getting appraisal waivers. It was a totally different scenario with lending back then.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, prior to that, it was the Wild Wild West, and a lot of that had been reined in for sure, hadn't it? All right. So during a buyer's market, if I had listings to sell, I think one of the things that continue to comes to mind for me again is understanding the market. And you're going to hear me talk about that a lot. Understanding the market is real critical in being able to find success for your sellers and success for your buyers. But understanding the market and how it works, how it operates, and then how to respond to it in how you write offers, how you communicate with other agents still matters, right? So if you understand it, then you know how to respond to offers. You know how to market the property in a way that appeals to the largest audience that home fits, and then accentuate the things that matter to those buyers in the home. So in some cases, again, like Sandy talked about, is a great point. The buyers are in less of a hurry. You need to try to create a sense of urgency where no sense of urgency really exists, right? And the best way to do that is, I look back from my days in advertising, is you create an emotional connection between that buyer and that house. Not just the features and benefits, the features, which are the minimum sets of requirements that are needed for them to live there. It's the benefits, right? It's things that connect their world and what's important to them to that home. For example, if people love to cook and you've got a knockout kitchen, if you begin to paint the picture of how this is a chef's kitchen and that the countertops were specifically created so that those that like to cook pastries and desserts have ample space to spread out all their cutlery and, you know, the cherries that go on top of their next pie creation, you're creating an emotional or a visual that they see every time that they think about that home. And the way that it's staged and set up only enhances that visual connection, right? Have you ever tried to remember something? Have you ever done the old mind trick where you try to remember to go pick something up and say that when you, like, you're supposed to go get bread, Sandy. Let's say you're supposed to go get bread at the store. So you create the mental picture in yourself when you see the door to leave your office, that you look at the door and you see your door as a piece of bread, right? It's an old memory trick that they used to use, right? So that mental picture, same as trying to remember somebody's name, you see them as either the same person, you know, you put a rhyming something or a visual trigger, overlay that person or you overlay that situation, right? So that's kind of the same thing we're talking about here, is you create a picture to connect that person in a buyer's market to the house. That's the biggest thing. It doesn't mean you don't do it in a seller's market too, but you do it in a buyer's market. Because remember, there you have to create a sense of urgency, right?
Right.
So when, what is your visual picture when you want them to think about your mortgages getting prepared? A credit report over top of the your logo?
I don't know.
I know. It's a stretch.
I'll have to think about that.
On the spot. Sandy on the spot there. Didn't mean to do that. All right. Well, we're going to talk about a buyer's market next, but I think before we do that, Sandy, here's what I want you to think about answering in the next segment. All right. What do you have as a secret sauce at Cross Country? What do you have as a secret sauce in Cross Country? And how do you help people get prepared in a market like this to be competitive, buyers or realtors? And I can answer some of those things because you're doing that with me already. But we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about the market we're in, which is a seller's market. And Sandy's going to give you some insights that I think are helpful. And if you're not taking notes, you might want to, because if you're out there and you're written a lot of offers and you haven't won, you may pick up something. So more to come with Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country, myself, Paul Jamison, with the Jamison family of companies, here to spend Saturday with you talking about your home. We'll be right back on News Talk 1110-99.3 WBT.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back to the show, Your Real Estate Today. What segment are we in, TJ's? This is it? This is the final segment? What happened?
Surprise. I don't know.
I talked myself right through the radio show, Sandy. Well, this segment is about you.
Okay, and so, well, I enjoyed it.
So we seller's market, Sandy. Seller's market. We're in it right now.
Okay.
All right. And so one of the tactics about talking about a seller's market, I've talked a lot about what we do for those that listen to us on a regular basis in a seller's market. And, you know, we talk about understanding the market and experience and how to react to it and helping our clients. But I want to talk about you. Now, do you have a secret sauce?
Yeah, so in a seller's market, the buyers have to move super fast. So if you think you have time to think about a property for very long, you don't have that time. You drive by, you see a house, you're like, oh, I really like that. Then you drive to the nearest gas station, you call your realtor and say, I have to make an offer on this house now. Because you don't have the weekend, you don't have the night, you don't have any time, because there are going to be offers, and the sooner you get in, the less chance of multiple offers. So before you do that, you need to be prepared for to have a very strong pre-approval letter in your pocket. So in order to do that, keep in mind, you might need to be prepared to pay more than the list price. So mm-hmm. You have to have the extra money in case the appraisal doesn't come in. Chances are you're going to be fine because prices are still rising. And for every sale, it's going to set a new bar for that neighborhood. So people worry constantly about paying over and about paying above appraised value price. And that used to be, I would say, don't ever do that. But in this market, I'm like, you pretty much have to do that.
Yeah.
So be prepared. It's tough on the first-time home buyers. And so we really want a strong letter for them. So I would say save your money. Whatever you do, have money that you want to use toward the purchase, and know what kind of payment you want, because it can get out of hand, and we want to make you comfortable with your payment. Get your credit score as high as possible, because everybody wants cash or conventional loans. It's very tough to sell an FHA or a VA or a USDA loan right now, and that means you need good credit. Mm-hmm. We want to understand the market. We want to have good credit. We want to make you comfortable with your payment. And you need to start early to do that. So if your ideal is to put 20% down and you don't have that extra money to pay over list price or whatever, we can always put less money down.
Mm-hmm.
So we like to get the clients in early so they understand the urgency, because you lose out on three or four houses and all of a sudden you understand the urgency.
Yeah.
Be prepared to put a lot of due diligence money down. That helps win the offers. So you want to be pretty sure about the house you like, and you don't get that money back. So it's really setting yourself up to to have a strong financial picture for so that when I talk to the realtors, because I will call the listing agent, you decide to make an offer on a house, I'll call them, and me and the realtor work together to see what their motivation to sell is, because maybe it's not a big due diligence or not like a ton of money. Maybe they want to stay in that house while they find another house, because houses aren't that easy to get.
Mm-hmm.
So you can offer them a rent back for a month or two, not too long, because you do have to move into it if it's a primary residence. That's one thing that works. Sometimes you can offer to pay some of the seller costs. It's very tough to get them to pay your closing costs right now. That they don't have to do it. And so I don't know that I would expect that. And you can pretty much forget about down payment assistance, because those take really long to get, and the sellers don't have the appetite for it, because they're going to perceive the buyer as weak and maybe it won't happen.
Yeah.
So sometimes closing fast helps, and that's another reason that you would want to get your ducks in a row so that you can move super fast. Like, we can go ahead and even put the loan into underwriting, have you all approved. All you need at that point is the contract, a possible appraisal, and the title work, and we can close you.
Yeah.
So those are the main points that we do.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting, Sandy, about what you said, kind of recapping through that, is you know, that you have to understand the market. You do too, right? Just because mm-hmm. you're lending money, there has to be an understanding of what is needed to help the realtor and the buyer win the deal. But, you know, the getting those pieces put together to get everything ready, I do ask buyers to start early, as early as they possibly can, even, you know, 6 months early. Even though they're not ready, I'd rather have them start early to get through credit issues that may crop up that they weren't aware of, paying down debt that's needed so they can get better rates and have their credit adjusted. And you've done that with many of my clients. And third, having them save that extra money. Because if you ask for closing costs now, and you brought this up, which I love that you did, is when you're seeing multiple offers, you know, and I see that they need money from the seller, it didn't used to be as much of a problem as it is now, right? Yeah, it really mm-hmm. is a problem. Yeah, if you're going FHA, you know, where Sandy has some products that are 95.5 conventional or even more, maybe, I'd rather see conventional than FHA or VA.
Yeah, we have a 97 in some cases.
Yeah, that's pretty good for a conventional loan, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Better than FHA.
Yeah. So, you know, I've personally done myself, Carrie and I have done many loans with you. I'm pretty sure I'm not your only client. Just kidding. You know, if you're to ask me what makes you different, I would say this: access and communication. And my favorite thing is, if you say you're going to do it, you do it. And it sounds kind of simple, like, oh, well, of course. It ain't an of course. In this market and in these days, it's hard to find. It really is. So
yeah, lenders are super busy now, and they're not always answering the phones.
Yeah.
And that's tough for a lot of people. And there's a lot of new loan officers in the market, and they may not understand the programs as well as they should, and they may get, you might get halfway through and then realize it's not the right program for you.
Or you might get halfway through or three quarters of the way through and realize your loan just got denied.
Yeah, and with the due diligence out there now, oh my gosh, you could lose a lot of money. So we're super diligent about that, and we understand that. I do a lot of loans that are turned down by other lenders.
Yeah. You've had to come in and help. Actually, even people I don't represent, I'm representing the seller, and I've recommended you when a buyer's loan has gone south, and you've come in and fixed it and got it closed for the opposing realtor. So
that's what we do.
Yeah. So if people are interested in refiing or a purchase mortgage and want to get the process started, how do they reach you at Cross Country, Sandy?
They call my mobile at 704-577-0144.
704-577-0144. Well, as you all know, we talked in the beginning of the show about the nature of this market. We have many buyers out there right now that are looking for homes, and we're also, you know, working with a lot of investors. And as you know, investors are still doing well right now. It's an appreciating market, and if the numbers work, they're always willing to purchase. So if you're interested in selling or if you're interested in learning more, you need to call us at 846-DUNN, 846-3663, or on the web at myjamesonhomes.com. It's interesting times. And the nice thing is if you're worried about selling and not knowing where to go, we help you put together options so you can capitalize on the market that we're in, maximize what you get for your house, so that you can create a plan and be ready when that home comes along that is your dream home, you'll be set to buy. Partners like Sandy are real critical for that. Thanks, Sandy, for your time today.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, as always, I did too. The show, Your Real Estate Today, it's Paul Jamison. Thanks for spending your Saturday with us on this show. We look forward to next week. Take care. God bless. Be safe. And keep your car tank full, but don't be a hoarder. See you later.